Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who are you? Where are you from? What are you doing here? Those are some questions we might ask when you first meet someone for the first time. In fact, today we have some new college students here with us today from UT. College has started this past week. And we have some old students with us from UT and from Carson Newman. God be praised. We may have some new visitors here today. And of course, we all want to know who you are and where you're from. What are you doing here? How you found us? We welcome you all to First Lutheran here. What a great day we have in the Lord. But after you get to know someone for a time, sometimes you revisit those basic questions with deeper reflection. Who are you really? Can I really trust you? Trust you to share my inmost thoughts, my deepest problems or concerns? But after you get to know someone for a while, you start to ask those identity questions. Who are you? This is the type of question that Jesus asked the disciples today in the gospel. It was similar. He was asking his disciples who had been following him for some time now, not do I know you, but do you know me? Do you believe in who I am and why I was sent? So in the text today, he asked them like this, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And the disciples answered, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus then asked, but who do you say that I am? And Peter replied in Greek, Suai ha Christos, tu theou ha huias, tu xantas. You are the Christ, Christos, the Son of the living God. Now, the first of these answers the disciples gave to Jesus' question could be considered close answers. After all, the people mentioned were names of, good God-fearing people, morally upright people, filled with the Holy Spirit, powerful in word and deed, noteworthy in many respects. I think it would be an honor, don't you think, Pastor Buescher, if we asked you today, who do you think that we're like? And you said, well, like one of the prophets, like so-and-so from the Bible. And based on age, I have to redeem Pat here a little bit. You'd probably be like Moses, and I'd be Joshua, maybe, or maybe you'd be Paul, and I'd be Timothy. So isn't it good enough for God to hear that Jesus is lumped in with other of these great prophets of old, famous men of the Bible? Can't we stop there? He was a man, a good man, a compassionate man, a God-fearing man, a friend of outcasts. In the text, Jesus graciously shows that those first answers the disciples gave were not good enough. They didn't go far enough. Jesus wasn't satisfied with those answers, and neither should anyone in the church be satisfied with those answers either, thinking that Jesus was a mere prophet or just an inspiring man of faith. He is. He must be so much more than that that we would gather here today and every week to worship him. And the difference we know from knowing him just as a prophet to knowing him as more than a prophet can really mean the difference between heaven and hell. Life with God in eternity or life in torment because of the darkness of our sins. But God doesn't want that. He wants all his creatures to know him and believe. So we learn from our text today that God prompts the church, prompts Peter, the disciples, through the work and ministry of Jesus, to give an accurate and personal answer to the question, who do you say that I am? And this is the question of faith. Do you believe and trust Jesus to be something so much more than a prophet, or what any man alone can do for you in your sins? Some questions call for approximate answers. Other questions call for quite accurate answers. Pastor Buescher mentioned in a sermon a couple weeks ago that after the service, if Michael Phelps were here, and we were going to introduce him to the congregation, and we introduced him as this. He's a lovely man from Boston here with us today. Some say that he's athletic. Others say he likes animals. He's a dog owner. And we just left it at that. But never mention anything about swimming or the Olympics. Well, that wouldn't be accurate, wouldn't be fair, wouldn't be right, wouldn't be sufficient. After all, he has 14 Olympic gold medals, 16 in all. He's the best competitive swimmer in the world. He deserves such an introduction. How much more, then, as God's people, should we give an accurate and personal confession about God before the world and before others? That this man, Christ Jesus, is God in human flesh, come into the world to die as Savior. Elijah isn't Jesus. John the Baptist isn't Jesus. Neither is Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Those men bore witness to the one who was to come, who is other than themselves. John the Baptist knew the difference. You remember what he said? He said, "He must increase, I must decrease." Elijah was a good man. He healed many people and prophesied, but he never made divine claims about himself, and neither did Jeremiah. John, Elijah, Jeremiah were all foremen of the coming Christ, the Son of God. They all sinned. They don't need to know a swimmer, they need to know a gracious Savior. God wants an accurate, not an approximate, confession of His Son. We just started school here at First Lutheran a couple weeks ago, and at registration time, as far as I'm aware, no one brought in their son or their daughter and said, "This is one of the boys from Knoxville. Here you go." Or, "Here's my daughter." "Here is a daughter in our neighborhood. Here you go." No, actually, they filled out a form that said, "This is my son, Joe." Or, "This is my daughter, Kara. I'm going to come back after school and pick up this one. Don't send to me another one of the same height or the same hair color. I want this one. This one is mine. This one shares my flesh and blood. We're related. This is my son. This is my daughter." And that makes all the difference. At baptism, at Jesus' baptism, you recall that a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my son, my beloved." God identifies himself with his son, and he wants us to know that too. And that's the confession that Peter gives us today. For us to know the Son is important to God. And this is his blessing, to share with us the Son by name. It is not important for men, but it is important for God. God will not have it in any other way. And on the last day, St. Paul reminds us that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yet still in our day, the world and the devil work very hard, even hardest in the church, to minimize or change the identity of Jesus to something other than what he is, to a mere man or a prophet, but not the real, actual, only genuine God who had come into the world, who was, who is, and who is to come. But thanks be to God that you, First Lutheran, you visitors, you friends, college students, that you know Christ Jesus as God. That you know him as he has been passed down to you in the Scriptures, built on the prophets and the apostles' witness. As you know him in the creed that we speak every Sunday, maybe every day at home, that you know him and can say with confidence that we have the right identity of Jesus. And we know this, not because of how hard we've worked at it to come to this conclusion, or how strong and how smart we are to have achieved it by our own work and study, but because, as Jesus says in today's text, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." We confess with the Scriptures how weak and helpless we are to know God aright, but how powerful and loving God is to share the truth, to reveal in truth everything written about Jesus in the Scriptures. We confess that we cannot even believe or come to know Jesus as Lord by our own reason or strength. But we confess with Scripture that God calls us by the gospel. That is, the preaching of Christ and the cross, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection. That God has made His mercy known to us, and by that we know God is true. God works through this preaching, through this message, to create faith. And so we come to church weekly to hear and to have faith, to be fed the food that keeps our faith in the living God alive. Today we confess with Peter that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that means life and salvation now and when our earthly days are done. And for that reason, and because God has made Himself known to us, we have the privilege to share with the world and others here in church the confession that Jesus is the Christ, that He is our God and our Lord, the world's Savior, not just my Savior and yours, but the world's Savior. So students, as you meet new people on campus, maybe this week, next week, throughout the year, may you be bold to speak of Christ Jesus and invite others to hear His teaching at church. First Lutheran members and visitors and guests, the same. Be bold. Be confident and let your light shine before men. And all of you who confess Jesus as Christ, the Son of God today, receive these words. Just as Jesus told Peter, "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Blessed are you." Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus.